To another episode of the Agnostic Salvation Hour. This is your host, Marshall.
And this is Cole Morgan.
And this is Jennifer.
And this is Michael.
And we are the cast and crew of the Agnostic Salvation Hour. So, Cole, you know, Cole, do you normally use your last name?
Yeah.
Oh, welcome back, Cole, by the way. Actually, you were on, you were on the interview with Daryl Ray, which was a fun time.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was at his house, yeah.
Yeah, although I got a message saying that apparently I didn't listen to the whole thing. Apparently an hour into it the quality of the recording starts decaying. So Brian suggested that I turn off the microphone, because if you leave it on and just turn it off and on, and that will reset, cuz I don't know the technicalities of it, but he suggested I do that in the future.
Okay.
So hopefully that doesn't hang us all up. And anyway, at the hour mark, I'll try to remember to do that.
So did it come out fairly good?
Yeah, the first hour, apparently. And then you could still hear it, I think. I mean, it was a pretty popular episode. A lot of people listened to it.
It was a great time, yeah.
I
just talked to Daryl last night. He was at one of our meetups, and he said that he's got a bottle of Russian vodka he wants to share.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Russian.
So we've already got a time set up.
I've been meaning to read his book, The God Virus.
Oh, it's good.
Oh, it's a great book, yeah.
You know, and it's something for a layperson. You don't have to be a scholar or anything to appreciate it. It's just well written for, you know, someone who's being introduced to skepticism and the threat of religion or theism. But it's a great book. I really did enjoy that book. I remember when I got it, I was like, oh, this book's going to suck. but I really liked it. I mean, I really did like that book. And, you know, we kissed his ass enough last show. Here we are kissing his ass. Well, he is offering us vodka.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
And last time it was scotch, this time it's vodka.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're gonna have a vodka and pizza night.
Oh, sounds fun.
Yeah, I could dig on the vodka. I'm not so much the scotch person, but the vodka.
Yeah, I hate scotch.
I like it all.
I gotta fire my private jet up and get to Kansas City.
You're in Chicago.
And we'll have a whiskey night.
Right. Just kidding. I don't have a private jet, everyone.
The whiskey too.
gonna ask if I could borrow it. You don't have one. So, all right. So, Cole, you do use your last name. I've always debated whether or not I should use my last name. I'm always afraid that if I were to ever be laid off and my last name were out there, I'm just a Google away from being unhireable.
I've been in the paper. I've been on the TV here.
That's true.
And so, everybody, I put my name, my phone number with every message I send out, and I get very little.
Oh, that's right. My last name, I was in an interview where they talked about in the faith section of the Kansas City Star.
Okay.
She interviewed a whole bunch of us.
Yeah, that was the first one with Daryl Ray's book.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So anyway, I actually, another reason I'm afraid too is because I have a stalker. I don't want to go into
too deep. You should be proud of that.
Not really. Surprisingly, I'm not.
Oh, really?
I should be. It's just it's I just wish I had a higher class stalker, is all.
Oh, there you go.
You're kind of a low rent stalker.
Here's this higher class than the stalker I had. I had a missionary from a fundy organization stalking me.
Oh, gosh.
Well, we have a couple of trolls, and that's an attorney, and he's been trolling us for 2 years.
Oh, yeah, wow. He is something wrong with that guy.
Yeah, definitely.
But he,
he recruits other trolls that often pop up too.
Yeah, he's got a nephew or a son or something that, that goes back and forth, and I've actually met him, and several of us have, and now he won't meet us anymore. So hey.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, I like meeting with him.
I can live without that. But anyway, speaking of stalkers, this happened not too long ago, but one of the more famous stalkers worldwide, an avid despiser of all things atheist and scientific, Denis Marcuse in Montreal, Canada, recently was arrested. And I don't know if most of our listeners are familiar with this guy, but he would literally send out dozens, if not hundreds, of spam / death threats out to scientists and atheists worldwide daily. And he's eventually been, I believe, arrested for making death threats to 16 people. Or he has 16 counts against him.
I saw his work mostly in the comment sections of blogs, such as John Loftus's Debunking Christianity website. He'd just say some of the most vile thing. I mean, he'd wish death on people's families. It was just terrible.
Yeah. Well, and actually, they were more humorous than anything, because they were rambling and utterly nonsensical.
Right.
If it weren't for the occasional die-atheist scum in there, you would have no idea what his message was, you know?
Well, yeah, and apparently he's being evaluated for mental stability, because, I mean, I guess the guy, because I guess there was a petition on the internet talking about, you know, getting this guy arrested. Like, they were basically telling everybody to send letters to the police in Montreal to arrest this guy. And he spammed that. I was like, really?
Yes, I heard about that.
So,
he didn't realize that they were being sent to the police. Because I signed that petition as well. And it, like you said, every single time you signed it, it sent an email to the police in Montreal, who had been ignoring it for over a decade. He even showed up possibly to confront or harm PZ Myers in Montreal at an atheist convention once, but he got chased off before he got to confront him.
He got chased off several times. He tried to get in there, like, not just once or twice, but two or three times, it was, I guess, so.
But he never got searched. Nobody knows if he was armed or had a knife or anything. I mean, he may literally have been there to kill PZ Myers, because that seems to be his number one target, him and Shermer. Michael Shermer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So anyway, he's in jail, took 10 years, and some people thought that have disagreed with the effort made to get him arrested.
Well, who disagreed?
Some atheist, even.
The guy's making death threats. That's a crime. And I hope he gets the help he needs, but he shouldn't be out. He needs to be locked away for a real long time, if not the rest of his life. I'm sorry if that sounds tyrannical, but that's how.
Well, or at least get on the meds he needs.
Right.
You know, because if the guy is really actually mentally ill, I would like to see, you know, him get the help that he needs.
I agree.
You know.
But, you know, he may have been there to harm somebody at that conference in Montreal. And quite frankly, if he was making those same threats or comments to the gay community or to African Americans, I don't think there would have been a 10-year delay. Yeah, I don't think it would have taken 10 years to.
No way. That says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And you know, and I know where some people are coming from. Like, you know, you read stuff on the internet and it's obvious that somebody's saying something completely outrageous and they're not actually, you know, you can generally tell who means it and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I understand that some were like, oh, he's just, you know, being a troll on the web. But at the same time, it's like, in this day and age, you just don't know what's to take serious and what's not. And considering that this guy did show up at a convention and tried to get in, I mean, that says a lot to me right there, that at the very least, maybe he wasn't there to kill anybody, but he was definitely there to cause problems. And, you know, so yeah, somebody like that doesn't need to be, you know, walking around if they're out free, if they're intending to actually cause real harm.
Yeah.
In fairness to our Christian friends, even possible Christian listeners, if there are any, I don't think this gentleman ever claimed to be a Christian or any, I don't think he ever claimed to be an adherent of any faith. Am I right about that?
I'm not sure. But in any respect, I don't think it really matters whether he claimed to be Christian or not, because I don't think that he's representative of any one group of people, just a crazy guy.
Yeah, it's hard to, what I've seen from him, really, his obsession seemed to be with Nostradamus, James Randi's Million Dollar Challenge, and Depeche Mode for some odd reason. But I still...
great lyrics on faith and
yeah. So anyway, he hopefully is getting the help he needs, and thousands of people worldwide are getting a respite from having to delete 30 threatening emails and Twitters, whatever they're called, a day.
Tweets.
So, all right. So anyway, now I mentioned my stalker, and she's not going to be happy with my description of her right now. I'm going to get some
answers. Do you know who this person? I mean, have you seen this person?
No, just some random person on Facebook.
Huh.
Who likes her show, I guess.
Well, I'll tell my sister not to put her picture on there.
Mm-hmm. I said, why aren't you stalking Cole? Why?
What do you think you have a sex?
Hey, give her my name. Give her my phone number.
Oh, anyway, she scares me. So we also wanted to, before we get into any more news things, I know, Jennifer, you wanted to mention Skepticon.
Yes, we have the fourth Skepticon coming up.
No, I thought it was the third one, wasn't it?
Is it the third? I thought it was the fourth. It's the fourth.
Okay, it's four.
Skepticon four.
Well.
Yeah.
That means there's three I haven't been to so far.
Yes. Yes. Too. The first one was very small, and the other two have been large, and this one's going to be just as big as last year, maybe bigger. So.
I keep saying that.
And Del Rey's speaking there, isn't he?
Yes, I have the list of speakers sitting here in front of me, and we have Dan Barker, Richard Carrier, Greta Christina, J.T. Eberhardt, David Fitzgerald, Julia Galef, Jen McRae, I'm going to butcher this name, and I'm sorry in advance, Hemant Mitha.
Oh, yeah, he's
the friendly atheist.
I met him from Chicago up here, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. And PZ Myers.
So awesome. Yeah, I'm going to try to go.
Yeah, and there's Joel Nickel, Daryl Ray, David Silverman, Sam Singleton, and Rebecca Watson. So
Sam's always good.
Yeah, and I'm really pleased because it seems pretty balanced between men and women. So, well,
oh, good.
That's what's good.
What I think is so cool about Skepticon being in Springfield, Missouri. It is in Springfield, Missouri, right?
Yep, right. That's absolutely right. Yeah.
Springfield, Missouri is, of course, home to the world headquarters of the General Council of the Assemblies of God, along with Baptist Bible College and I think Evangel University. So there's a lot of Christian stuff down there. So
yeah,
that's really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Skepticon's down there.
There's some batshit craziness down there.
We started a group down there about 3 years ago, and it was very difficult to get someone to lead a group.
I imagine it would be.
Yeah, it was.
Now I think they have a pretty strong group, but this is happening November 19th through the 21st. So, well, they have 19th and 20th, but I believe that they'll have Sunday as well. So it's a Friday and Saturday, and last year it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I'm assuming this will be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So.
But it sounds like they have more speakers this year, don't they?
Yeah, it does. It does sound like they have more speakers, and they have a dot, 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 and more. So we'll see.
Oh,
they
geez.
Might be adding some people too. Yeah. But it was a blast last year. I think last year there were at least 1,200 people, so it was like going to a big party with, you know, at least 1,000 of your closest friends. So if you can make it, come on down.
You know, Christians would have loved it if Springfield had gotten hit with a tornado or something during Skepticon. You know,
Joplin's pretty religious too.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. Oh, yeah, Joplin. Further proof that God has nothing to do with natural disasters, because, well, I like what's going on right now.
New York didn't get much, didn't get hit that bad. That's a pretty tough
No.
place.
It had been, by the time that Hurricane Irene had gotten to New York, I think it had been downgraded to a tropical storm.
Yeah.
But North Carolina, a very religious state, got
Oh, yeah.
hammered pretty dang hard.
And you're talking about Joplin a couple months ago. Who can forget about Tuscaloosa, Alabama? Alabama's the heart of the Bible Belt. That got hit pretty hard as well.
Right. Yep, it
Yeah.
did.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Alabama had 30 deaths. Joplin had, I don't remember how many. I mean, Joplin just was destroyed, wiped off the map.
Hey,
And
those people need to.
I mean, if because we always hear it, how natural disasters are always a display of God's wrath because of our sinfulness, or usually it's homosexuality.
Right.
But if it really is true that meteorology is not a science but rather a divine phenomenon, you should be able to predict weather disasters by like crime rates and divorce patterns and things like that, and not by high fronts and low fronts and things. But actually, it might even be true, because if you look at the maps, and if you want to see where most natural disasters occur, it's usually in the south.
I believe it.
It really
Yeah.
is. And if anything, if you're going to draw any message from that, it's that God hates Christians. Because,
Either that, maybe they should stop praying. Right.
yeah, prayer has not worked for them.
Yeah.
Unless they've been praying for constant tornadoes and hurricanes.
Or rain, in Texas.
Yes. Well, they have been praying for rain
The
in Texas.
reasoning of the reason these people's reasoning is such bullshit, because if these natural disasters happened to San Francisco, they'd be certain that this is the wrath of God. I remember right after Katrina happened, my good Christian friend, he was certain that this is God's judgment on the godless city of New Orleans, but not a word after these tornadoes on Joplin and in Alabama. Not a
No.
word.
Yeah. Well, and Irene. I mean, Irene hit the southern states far worse than it hit. I mean, it's just barely doing anything in New York, where they just legalized gay marriage.
Right. Oh, yeah. The Northeast is known as probably the most secular area of the United States. There's, I think, as far as church attendance, they might have the lowest rate of church attendance in the nation.
And statistically, based on the map I saw a couple weeks ago, the Northeast tends to be less hit by natural disasters than any other part of the country. The North and the Dakotas, I believe, which is a pretty religious area, though.
Yeah, but why would you want to live there? There's nothing there anyway.
Yes.
It's hell out there.
I can't imagine.
It's very pretty, but there's nothing there.
The Dakotas? No, they're not. I don't
Oh,
think so.
I loved South Dakota. I thought it was beautiful, but there I was just like, wow, but it's beautiful because there's nobody around.
We had a guy visit the skeptics a couple of, or Kansas City Freethought Society a couple of Tuesdays ago, and he was from North Dakota, and he has a website called Blessed Atheists, and they're studying the Bible. It's pretty good. It's pretty funny. He's a great guy.
Yeah. Well, and an
I think I
atheist
got
loves
that
to study
site.
the Bible, which is really weird. I think we study the Bible more than most Christians do.
I
I
would
think you're
think.
right.
So,
I go to an academic Bible study. It's fun.
I
There's a
bet that
couple of
sounds
Christians.
cool. I
Yeah,
would.
it's a lot of fun. I mean, we study it from the truth of it,
Yeah.
and so it's a great time. And it's about half atheists, agnostics, and there's three or four Christians there. And Fred goes, one of our Christian friends.
Okay.
Fun stuff. I need to start going to that, because that's one of my interests. I don't know why I'm interested in the Bible.
Oh, we're doing the
Oh,
New
it's a
Testament
fascinating
now.
book.
Parts of it are. I
Right.
hate the
Right.
begets this, begets
Yeah.
that.
Trash.
Jesus. The hell cares?
I was just having this discussion the other night with my boyfriend about talking about how I love movies and television shows that are rooted in Christian mythology, and I just kind of liken it to it's like liking Greek mythology and things like that. There's some really fantastic stories and interesting ideas, but And I always have liked fantasy stuff, so.
Yeah, and I agree with you, too. Some of my favorite movies are like the movie Constantine. I love that movie.
Right. I like Michael.
Oh, that was a good movie.
With John Travolta.
That wasn't really, that wasn't in the same category, but it was interesting.
Or like Dogma. Dogma is a brilliant movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was a great one, too.
Yeah.
But for this reason that we're talking about, that's why one of my favorite podcasts is The Bible Geek with Bob Price, because it's, you know, he's a guy who's interested in the Bible. He's an atheist, but, you know, he just likes, he's a student of the Bible. And I think a lot of, you know, Marshall, you enjoy
listen.
Work as well. And yeah, it's just a fun podcast because I have questions. It's just, yeah, I like to study it from an academic perspective.
Sure. That's great.
Well, and I like to study it basically because I'm just so fascinated by the fact that anyone could possibly read it and conclude this had to have been written by the creator of the universe.
This is the word of God. Yeah.
I mean, it's such an absurd conclusion to draw. Right. I mean, there are certain parts of that book that are very well written, but there are others that are just
completely
so
fucked up,
redundant and stupid and violent and evil that, anyway. All right. So, Michael, you wanted to plug your Chicago Skeptics group, didn't you?
Yeah. I've been attending for a while now the Fox Valley Atheists meetup group. And in case we have any listeners in the Chicago area, we've been we usually have at least one meetup during the week. But lately we've been having meetups on Sunday mornings, and I've enjoyed it. It's been a great alternative to church for me. We either meet at the Panera Bread in Batavia or the Caribou Coffee, also in Batavia. And it's been more organized. We have a topic of discussion, but it's just been a good time. And, you know, I'm thankful for that because it, you know, again, it provides some of the lost social opportunities I had with the church. And so, you know, if anyone else is looking for some secular social opportunities that don't involve proselytizing or anything like that, you know, check us out. Feel free to send us an email for more info and check it out.
Hey, so how many people show up Sunday morning?
Oh, lately about an average about, I'd probably say between 15 and 20.
Oh, well, that's pretty good. We can't get anybody here in KC to meet Sunday mornings.
Okay, well, you're kind of Bible Belt, Missouri.
It's always Saturday nights or Friday nights or...
I was going to say, is that just because everybody goes to the Saturday night meetup and stays there until like 2 or 3 in the morning?
That may be.
That's one of the advantages of not being a Christian is you get to sleep in on a Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Right.
So anyway, all right, let's hit the news, shall we? We already talked about the Mabus scandal. Poor Mabus. I feel sorry for him. He's crazy. All right, this actually happened a while ago, but it is news, and I did want to discuss it. Discuss it. Did I say discuss it?
You did.
Yeah,
I think I did.
Right.
Discuss it. polygamous leader Warren Jeffs gets life in prison. This came out, I think, in July, and I'm assuming everybody here is kind of familiar with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
But Jeffs is the 8th FLDS man convicted from his particular church, of which he was the leader, and I don't know what FLDS stands for. It's a
Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Oh, very good. Yeah, it's right here. And which is a Mormon organization, and you know,
Mormon. They're a split. I mean, they're not mainstream Mormonism.
Right. They're a splinter of Mormons.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a very fanatical. They have a very fanatical approach to Mormonism and polygamy. they don't believe that polygamy should merely be legal, but more or less obligatory, that if you're a Mormon man, you need to marry as many Mormon women as you can possibly get your hands on.
Well, the headquarters is here, right, in Independence?
No, that's in Independence. You're thinking of the Community of Christ, which used to be named the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day
Saints. Oh, that's right. You're right.
But anyway, under the guise of religion, Warren Jeffs had been, quote, marrying, unquote, young teenage girls and obviously having sex with them and getting them pregnant for a very long time. And I don't mention this because this is such an unusual situation, because there have always been sexual deviants and freaks, apparently quite a few of them in this organization. The rumors that they would have orgies and hot tubs and things with their teenage brides and a whole bunch of craziness. But the reason I bring this up is, you know, we're glad that he's going to jail. Evil man, going to jail for life. He's never going to see he's never going to see freedom again, which is a good thing. But the most sickening part of all of this, in my opinion, is the complicity of the parents of these girls that he was raping. And legally, it was rape.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes. The parents were completely complicit, offering the children to this man who they considered to be the spokesman for God here on the planet Earth. And this community actually had, I think they had a compound. It was a 10,000-member community, which was a lot larger than I had realized. But you have parents believing that this man is the current prophet here on the on Earth, offering their young, sometimes prepubescent girls to this guy, essentially for rape.
Well, that's just proof that some people have no business reproducing.
Yes, exactly. but it's also further proof of, you know, the axiom that, you know, bad people are always going to do bad things. But you've got parents who presumably love their children. I'm going to assume that, but willing to hand them off to this horrible life, living essentially as Warren Jeff's sexual object. And that pretty much takes religion. I'm not sure how that happens in any other way.
I can't imagine either. I just, because all I can think is that, yeah, they really believed this guy was, you know, someone who is talking to God. So, you know, it can't be wrong to do this if he's telling us it's okay. And yeah, it's just really sad, honestly.
You know, is this what we see here? Children, female children being treated as property. You know, is this really any, and it's a terrible thing, no doubt about it, but do we not see similar things in the Bible, especially the Old Testament?
Oh, yeah, of course we do.
Sure.
And I think that's...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think that's why it's so easy to justify, because it is consistent with a lot of what you read in the Bible. The people who are saying that he's being a bad Christian are the ones who have to make their argument, because it's not a biblical argument.
No, not at all.
But it's an argument you will only accept as a mother if you believe that this guy really is God's spokesman here on Earth. Because if your boss comes up to you at work and says, "Hey, I like that 12-year-old daughter of yours. You mind if I marry her?" I mean, you're not going to say yes to that. But if he convinces you that, "Oh, by the way, God speaks through me and really wants me to marry your daughter," I mean, that's pretty much what it takes.
Well, like Michael was saying, I mean, what does this say about these parents that are turning these kids over?
I actually feel sorry for the parents too, because I feel like the parents are victimized themselves. But the difference is that they should know better, and that's where it gets sad to me, because there should be everything within their being saying, my child hasn't even reached womanhood, you know, why would I even think that this is okay to marry her off?
But as I just said, though, I mean, I would think these parents, I hope they're facing legal consequences. Or are they not? I would hope they are, but who knows?
It doesn't say. This article, which I got from, where did I get this argument? Article from MSNBC, okay. Does not indicate. No, USA Today.
All right.
Yeah, but you're right, I hope, because even though these parents were no doubt acting, thought that they were being moral and good parents by doing this, because of the religious connotations, the religious beliefs. At some point, as we've seen with faith healing and some of the tragedies that go along with that, that cannot be accepted as an excuse for being negligent and abusive.
Well, no, yeah, I agree.
You know, it's just like the Newdows in Minnesota. I mean, they're praying for their kid that could have been treated for diabetes, and they have friends and relatives there too. I mean, why aren't they held accountable also?
Yeah, and I don't know if you can hold the friends accountable, although you would hope that they would have called something into their local social services organization.
Right.
But the parents have a legal obligation that in that situation and in this situation, they did not live up to. And the fact that they believed that this is what God wanted, as we said, can't be accepted as an excuse for this level of negligence. And I'm not even sure this is negligence.
I would say this is more like
this is intentional. I mean,
like accomplices almost, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
They're just handing these kids over, you know.
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
Well, they do so with the hope that someday they will have their own universe, which is every Mormon's dream.
Right.
And Yeah, and I don't know, this kind of actually reminded me of a story that I heard about a while ago, and it kind of reminds me of the story a little bit, and I need to see if I can find this website again, but I remember reading about that there was a website of parents who were religious that were offering up basically trying to marry off their children as young, their girls as young as, you know, like 15 and 16, because it's biblical, and they were basically trying, I don't know if they were trying to marry them off at that age, but basically promising that by 18, they're going to marry this guy, because they were like, my teenager's out of control and marrying her off to this guy will settle her down. Or it was, this is what the Bible says you're supposed to do, so we need to pick her husband and get her married off. So it was kind of like an arranged marriage thing on top of it. But it was really bizarre to me. And I was like, what kind of parents are these that would want their 18-year-old daughter to sign her life away to a guy that she doesn't even know, you know?
Oh, still happens. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, within the evangelicalism, there's a movement called the Christian Patriarchy Movement, or the Quiverful Movement, which emphasizes,
oh God,
you know, it's the duty of people to marry and marry young and have as many kids as possible, bear fruit and multiply, and you know, eventually have enough kids to form an army to take over the world for Christ.
Yeah, and it's horrifying, and it's also a bit hypocritical, because a lot of times they have so many children that there's no way they can provide support for them all, and they end up taking advantage of welfare and other social services to help pay the bills.
Which, by the way, a lot of them would be against if they could have their way at the polls.
Exactly. I mean, that's why it's very hypocritical, but they do it anyway. And yeah, that Quiverful movement is so destructive and asinine. Every now and then we get asked, you know, what exactly is religion doing that's harmful? Well, that's one of them.
Example.
Yeah, that is a good example. This world does not need more, a larger population than it already has. And that shit just drives me crazy. And those poor, I just think of those poor indoctrinated mothers who get sucked into that and end up having 15, 16, 17 children.
Right. There's a cool website. The woman's now an atheist, but she was in the Quiverful movement. She has like 7 kids. I think the name of the website is No Longer Quivering. .com. I mean, do a Google search, just type in no longer quivering, and there's some really cool testimonies and articles on there about this whole thing and the agenda of these people, and it's pretty scary.
Mm-hmm. And it's all part of the dominionist agenda.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Which a lot of Christians are pretending is not really their agenda, but there's too much past history of them talking about it to deny that. But that's a pretty Protestant. And Michael, you may have been familiar with some Dominionist.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I have a friend. Well, he's no longer a friend now, but he lives in northern Idaho. I visited him one summer, and that is a center. That's where Douglas Wilson is, and he's a big player in the Quiverful movement. And, you know, my friend, when I visited, the whole time I was with him, he gave me a lecture about how I need to get married immediately and have as many kids as possible to help make the army of Christians to take over, take dominion and take over this world for Christ. So these people are, oh wow, they say their mindset is scary is an understatement. And and again, not to get into politics, I hate both political parties, but this is an objective statement. Rick Perry's The Response was put on by Christian dominionists. So
oh yeah,
sure,
that's, right.
Yeah,
that's I would describe them as Christian fascists. The American Family Association is a fascist organization, in my opinion.
Oh yeah.
I mean that Brian Fisher.
Oh man.
Evil human being. He is of the dregs of society. He is just so despicable. I mean, we've talked about him a number of times. He's the guy who wants to invade Islamic nations and force their conversion and require immigrants into this country to convert to Christianity and things like that. Not a fan of that guy. And the fact that Rick Perry would even invite this or accept their money to sponsor that event is really all I need to know about Rick Perry.
I agree.
You know, I see on the line here a site that says no longer quivering. Looks like people that have left that group.
Yes, right. That's the site.
Yeah.
We all have to check that out.
Yeah.
As should our audience. Oh, which I have a bone to pick with our audience.
With the audience?
Yes. Not living up to their end of the bargain, quite honestly. We get a lot of downloads. I'd say about 20 to 30 a day. But can any of our listeners be bothered to rate this show on iTunes? No. We've got 7 ratings. We've been doing this for 2 years now. We've got 7 ratings, people. Come on. Get with the program.
Like, I download it, but I think I'd be a little biased if I rated it. So, you know.
Well, I found out you can only rate it 7 times, and then you can't rate it anymore.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. I'm just
teasing. Oh, really?
So that was you.
I'm teasing.
That's a technique straight from Chicago politics.
Yeah.
All of Kansas City also.
Vote often and vote early. Or vote early and vote often. What is it? So, we got some Chicago news coming up in a little bit. But I wanted to, speaking on Christianity, and well, religion's bizarre obsession with sex. I got this news story off the LGBTQ Nation. I guess, what does Q stand for? Queer? I'm going to guess queer. I have no idea.
That's a good guess, probably.
Yeah. Guyanan regional minister orders witch hunt of suspected homosexuals. And I got this from, well, this was written by a Kyle... Oh gosh, Lubick. The Western Regional Minister, Paul Evans Edu of Guyana, has tasked Guyana's Bureau of Natural Investigations and Security Forces to round up the country's gay population and has called on the landlords and tenants to inform on people they suspect of being homosexual. And this is a quote from him. All efforts are being made to get rid of these people in society. This is shortly following a conference by the Christian Council of Ghana regarding homosexuality and the homosexual... Man, I'm in trouble reading this. And homosexual conduct. According to the council's general secretary, Reverend Dr. Fred Digaby, homosexuality is an abomination in the eyes of God and also contributes to the growing rate of sexually transmitted diseases. Which, again, this is the religious take on the situation. Under current Guyan law, homosexual sex is a punishable offense. And just another example of people minding their own business, all suddenly being persecuted simply before being who they are.
Forgive me for asking an obvious question. I just want to make sure of something. You said this is in Guyana?
Mm-hmm. Or how do you pronounce it? Ghana? Guyana?
Wait, are you Guyana? How do you spell it?
Ghana in Africa.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant, okay, in Africa. Because I was thinking, oh, if you were saying Guyana, if you were referring to Guyana, I was thinking, oh, isn't that where that Jim Jones incident happened? But okay.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, again, I don't want to generalize the whole African continent, but you know, this brings to mind what has been happening in Uganda. So I think conservative Christianity, unfortunately, has a pretty large influence in many places over in the African continent. Again, I don't want to generalize. I'm sure there's a lot of diversity in Africa as well, but this is a fact, though.
Well, this does tend to be the trend. This kind of stuff does seem to happen a lot. Well, it's outlawed pretty much everywhere in the Arab regions of Africa. But it's getting pretty brutal in the southern Christian regions of Africa, too.
Yeah, well, it's because so many of these Christian organizations have so much influence and money to spend there. When you're talking about these nations that, you know, I'm not going to say that every African nation is poor, but, you know, let's face it, most of them aren't very well off. When you have these Christians or Muslims or whatever coming in and they all think, you know, gay people. Oh, and by the way, the Q stands for questioning. I just looked it up. It stands for it's including people who aren't sure what their sexuality is.
Gotcha.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, you know, when you're talking about these organizations that are religious coming in and they can throw their weight around without much opposition from the government because it's either in turmoil or constantly changing or it is a theocracy. You know, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that this kind of stuff happens. It saddens me, but it doesn't surprise me.
And it's a pretty popular topic. I mean, this is something you can get a lot of support for if you want to victimize small outsider groups like the gays or you know, it's also happened with Westerners who live in those regions as well. But this is clearly religiously influenced, as I think the opposition to homosexuality usually is in Africa. And this is one of the reasons why what they were saying in that that Atlanta group, the African American black group, is even, you know, all the more despicable. And I can't remember I don't want to blame the entire Atlanta group.
No, it was just those two gentlemen that one show that happened, because I guess other people have said, I guess there's actually a lesbian that hosts that show and stuff too. So it's not like that is the view of all of the Atlanta black atheists, but yeah, it was just really, I kind of felt the same way. I was like, do you even know your own history and how homosexuality is viewed? You know, I don't know. It's just interesting to me
Well, he pointed to it. He said that's one of the reasons he was against it, because it's a white thing. It's a European thing that the blacks have always opposed homosexuality, and it doesn't exist among the black community.
And that's such bullshit, though. I guess that's what I'm saying. It's such, you know, they talk about, you know, because he kept talking about, well, this is family values in Africa. This is, you know, we're talking about family values. And my thing is, like, family values in Africa was polygamy and not, you know, not, you know, women that were wanting to marry one dude. We're talking polygamy where it's like the Jeffs thing, where it was, you know, we're going to marry these 12 and 13 year old girls to this one dude, and he'll have like, you know, 10 wives. And so it's for him to basically pretend like the African, you know, societies over there were somehow more moral than anybody else is just ridiculous to me.
Well, yeah, and for something that doesn't exist in Africa, they sure spend an awful lot of time trying to catch these non-existent homosexuals throughout the continent.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's like obviously there's homosexuals in African communities as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've read that this hardcore anti-gay movement we're seeing in we saw in Uganda, and then maybe possibly now in Ghana. I've read that has been influenced by American evangelical fundamentalist Christians.
Yeah.
Well, that's where they're getting their money from, too.
Exactly. Yeah. And I will say this too. I think definitely this is religiously driven. Don't get me wrong. But I also do think that it's also a way for those governments that are in such turmoil to distract the people from what's really going on with their government too. Because that happens in the United States too with the pro-choice issue and things like that too. I really think that's a smokescreen that they use to keep the population focused on other things rather than what's really going on.
But the only reason that smoke screen would have any effectiveness is if there's a receptive religious population
to
receive it. You take out the religion, you'd still have some superstition and animosity towards outsider groups, but not to this scale. I mean, it's becoming organized. It's becoming frightening. And if you're gay, Africa is not a welcoming continent
right
now. And it's unfortunate. It really bothers me.
That's or if you're a woman either. So if you're a woman.
Yeah. And sadly, you know, we don't mention that because it's so common and so assumed that it's not even news anymore. The religious abuse of women throughout the world. That it doesn't, it's, well, go ahead.
Did we lose Jennifer?
No, I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm disagreeing. Yeah, that's very true. I mean, there's just, there's all kinds of stuff going on all the time. Like, I remember there was like a big protest of women in, Saudi Arabia, where they're not allowed to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like, for a while there, a bunch of women who were taping themselves driving and then putting it on YouTube in Saudi Arabia, and women were getting in like big trouble for doing this. But they, you know, a lot of them were women that had lived in the United States. I think it started was started by a woman who lived in the United States and then moved back to Saudi Arabia. And, you know, and I was like, wow, so it's that oppressive. And this is one of America's allies, mind you.
Which horrifies me that we could, our addiction to oil allows us to make alliances with really evil, evil nations. That happens every now and then. That freaking drives me crazy. I don't know why that happens, but every now and then I would just disconnect. I can hear you guys. That's the weird thing. But you guys.
Oh, I could tell you could hear us because you were probably talking. I could see your light going.
So that happens. Anyway, all right, enough about Africa. That's depressing. I get depressed when I talk about that kind of stuff going on in Africa. And especially when you, I mean, it's even worse when you talk about the witch hunts that still go on. And how there are literally internment camps for witch children.
Yeah, and then the female circumcision. That's
oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just so barbaric.
Right.
All right, enough. Let's talk about something more fun. Or funner. Right-wing rabbi blames earthquake on gays.
Well, that's gotta be very small.
Orthodox rabbi Yehuda Levin, who has spoken on behalf of the anti-gay National Organization of Marriage. Oh, God, that pisses me off. That name by itself.
Yeah.
National Organization for Marriage. Began blaming gays for Monday's earthquake within hours of its striking. Because, again, as we talked earlier, all natural occurrences are directly in relationship to the amount of homosexuality in the region. That's a proven scientific fact.
I thought it was because women were dressing too provocatively for earthquakes.
That's only in Islamic nations where they don't.
Okay.
They don't have gays in those, because you're executed if you're in Islamic nations.
You know, I'm surprised that a Jew. You know, you describe him as a hardcore right wing rabbi, but still, Jews rarely pronounce judgment. This is usually reserved for evangelicals. I'm surprised that a rabbi would take this kind of act.
I am too.
Yeah. No, I'm not. This stuff that the radical right Orthodox Jewish community is out there.
There are some
lunatics. I mean, you're right. The average Jew is a rational, progressive, intelligent individual, but that small percentage of the ultra Orthodox Jewish population, nuts. Some of the weirdest religious beliefs on the planet. With their bizarre legalism and their Sabbath observances. I mean, it's just stupid.
I just recently visited my parents who live in New York City, and we drove around an Orthodox Jewish neighborhood. And it's, you know, it's not over 90 degrees, and these people are walking around with black pants, black jackets, black, every, I mean, and you got to think these people are boiling over and they're, what are they doing this for? I mean, they're well, I guess to observe the law of their faith, but you just want to say what, you just want to ask, what the hell do you think you're doing? Do you really think you're gaining anything by this? Maybe they would say yes, but oh, yeah, you're right. There is craziness.
Yeah, I've actually seen that around here. A couple of my friends actually live in, oddly enough, a very Jewish community. Like, they, you know, like everybody around them is pretty much Jewish. And yeah, I see that a lot. The guys dress up in the full black suit. At first I was like, what's going on? Is there like something, you know, did somebody die or something? It's like, oh no, there's a bunch of Jews over here. It's like, oh.
Well, this notion that the creator of the universe actually gives a damn that you're wearing a black suit and long hair. Levin goes on to say, and this is what really drives me crazy, we want everyone to understand that if this kind of activity continues and are legislated into the moral fiber of the country and are forced down the throats of the religious people, it's a revolt against God, and literally there will be hell to pay. Okay, the part where he said, and forced down the throats of religious people, nobody has proposed that religious people have to marry homosexuals.
Right.
I mean, how is anything being forced down anyone's throat?
Right.
We're talking strictly about a legal issue. It has nothing to do with religion. Religions can refuse to marry anybody they want. I actually had some friends that wanted to get married in a church that they met with the pastor, and the pastor said, I don't approve of the match. I'm not marrying you. And they went someplace else. Mm. So, you know, nobody's going to say you have to perform marriage ceremonies for homosexuals if you're a religious person. You absolutely don't have to.
Did they get married?
And I would fight. Yeah, they got married. They just had to go to a different church. And my thing is, like, I would absolutely support that. If somebody said that, you know, legally, you know, the church down the street has to marry anybody who comes through the doors, I would fight and say, no, that's not right. They shouldn't have to marry anybody they don't want to. You know, I totally agree with that. But to say this is being forced down all religious people's throats is it's the same thing with the abortion issue to me. I'm like, you know, they're like, oh, we have to tolerate this. I'm like, no, you don't. You just don't have an abortion yourself, you know? I mean, get over it, you know, deal.
Well, and it's this feigning persecution that if the religious community, not the entire religious community, but if these right-wing religious lunatics don't get their way on everything, well, now they're being persecuted.
Right.
And it's just horrible.
Yeah. Well, I think devoutly religious people have almost something resembling a fetish with the idea of persecution. I know I did as a evangelical believer. I mean, if you're persecuted, that was a badge of honor. So you kind of almost make up ways in which you're persecuted. If you try sharing the gospel with someone and they tell you to fuck off, oh, that's an example of persecution. God bless you. So
yeah, exactly. or the Christmas thing.
Right.
Oh my God. I mean, I've actually seen a Christian get mad because somebody said happy holiday to
him. Oh, right. Yeah, that's another thing.
Oh, that drives me crazy because I don't give a shit. I really don't.
I get that at
really
work.
I really don't either. I don't care what you say to me.
or happy, if someone says happy Hanukkah.
Yeah,
you know,
totally
I accept
fine.
It.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen, where I work retail, and I've seen over the last 3-4 years more people saying happy holiday, and I've seen more cards coming in to thank us for our duty saying happy holiday. And so I think more and more people are getting on board of that and are becoming more accepting of you don't have to say necessarily Happy Christmas or Merry Christmas.
Oh, you know, they're doing that because they hate Jesus.
Yeah, well, I'm personally myself, I'm not seeing that where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing it changing. And I think it's because more and more people are saying things like this.
Well, I think more and more people are recognizing that, hey, it's not just Christmas that occurs at the end of the year. And it's New Year's, it's Hanukkah, it's, you know, all of the Yom Kippur? You know, I mean, there's all kinds of holidays happening in December.
And I play around with it. They'll say Merry Christmas. I'll say, may the force be with you. You know, and I usually get laughs. You know?
Or Festivus, that's always my favorite.
Yeah, and I say that too sometimes. You know, they'll turn around, they'll laugh, and they go on. Most people are okay with it where I live. and where I work.
Oh, God. No, I met some people who were absolutely crazy. And they were, it was all that stupid, what's the Fox News is that, oh, what the hell, Bill O'Reilly's fault. He got that whole thing started. And he was just crazy about it. And I knew some people who were fans of his. And this one woman actually was complaining how Walmart's not even allowed to sell Christmas cards anymore. And I said,
oh, what?
You're full of shit. There was,
yeah.
You need to check that out. Go to walk to Walmart and check that out before you go around saying stupid shit like that, because that's insane.
Yeah, really.
But anyway, this whole...
Hello?
I'm here.
Hello.
Jesus
I'm
Christ,
here.
On a popsicle stick. I do not know what's going on. That is...
Skype is having issues tonight.
Yeah.
I tell you what, God just doesn't want us to meet.
God hates
this
show.
Anyway.
No, God really does hate this show because he has messed up with the audio quality of the last couple of shows.
Well,
I've just about had it.
Well, by this being an agnostic show and you allow an atheist, I think I may have something to do with it.
You could, although by every definition, I consider myself an atheist or agnostic. It really doesn't matter. I'm just too lazy to change the name of the show. So I don't care. Part of me wants to stick with agnostic because a lot of people get really bent out of shape if you say agnostic. So, who cares?
Makes it more interesting.
Exactly. Exactly. Although, there are people who won't even listen to this because it says agnostic.
Hello?
Hello? This is getting annoying. I don't, Skype is really failing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Microsoft.
Well, we should pray about it tonight.
You guys gotta get Macs, man. Catch up with the Mac revolution.
The Macs. Well, Cole was part of the Mac revolution. He couldn't even download Skype.
Really?
It must be too old. My Mac's 6 years old. I can't find a Skype to get onto.
Okay.
Yeah, in computer terms, the 6-year-old computer is stone age.
Yeah, I know history.
Yeah, it did have like a green monochrome screen and.
No, actually, it's an iMac. It's a nice computer.
I was just kidding. Well,
I'll forgive you.
So, all right, let's use
PowerBook G4 right now. I was having internet connection problems myself, so I had to do a different setup, and it's doing pretty good. But it's not an Intel Mac, so it's still pretty old.
Well, let's use the next couple minutes that we have before we disconnect again wisely. Texas legislators and Christian groups fight to insert God into vet's funeral against family wishes. This is another situation of Christians feigning persecution. Every fallen soldier has the right to have a service with the religious theme of his choosing. So if you're a Protestant, you can have a Protestant service. If you're Catholic, you can have a Catholic service. But if you're an atheist, you have the right to no religious service whatsoever. And this is really pissing off a lot of Christians in Texas. And they brought suit against the Veterans Administration because they are banning references to God in recent services, which is a flat-out lie, by the way. Here is one of the advocates or supporters of this lawsuit. And hold on, I need to find this organization.
So they're claiming, I mean, they're just giving people the choice to have a religious funeral or not, and this Christian group is suing?
Yes, because Jesus is being excluded from certain funerals where the family did not authorize a religious service.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yes.
So they're not suing anybody who isn't, you know, a lover of Jesus, say like they are a Jewish person or an Islamic person. Or are they? Are they complaining about that, you know, even if this is a Jewish person, they should have Jesus in their ceremony?
I believe that's it. I think that there's these...
Really?
They want to have the right to mention Jesus in every service. And here, their motivation is they believe that they're doing the right thing, that these dead soldiers are heroes, and that they deserve a good Christian send-off, whether they realize they deserve it or not. And they think they're doing this in the best interest of the fallen soldier. But here's
this is going to work just in the opposite for them.
I hope so. But here's a quote from Texas Representative John Colbert's son. He told this to Fox News, of course. "It makes my skin crawl that liberals are attempting to drive prayer out of funeral ceremonies for our heroes. In an effort, we're going to fix this so no Obama liberal bureaucrat will interfere with the funeral of a hero again." And here's what they're trying to do. He's trying to, not only are they suing the Veterans Administration, they're also attempting to block the salary of the cemetery director, I guess, in Texas, for enforcing this rule where a soldier, there has to be family consent before they can do a religious service. And they're actually trying to force this guy into allowing this by denying him a salary.
Oh, wow.
Which is a really, really ridiculous.
Well, this will do. It will work the opposite for them, just like Fred Phelps.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine that any court is even going to entertain this. You're just going to throw it out on its face and just say, "What are you talking about? These are, you know, this is the choice of the family. It has nothing to do with you or anybody else."
Unfortunately, this is going to cost taxpayers money.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
makes it even more outrageous. It's a waste of time because it's like, do you even hear yourself? Do you even hear what you're saying? You're taking this choice away from grieving families who, you know, either are, you know, not religious themselves, or the person that passed away wasn't religious, and so they don't think that a religious ceremony is needed. And that's, you know, or there again, like I said, if this is a Muslim person or a Jewish person or you know, Scientologist person, you know, I mean, they're not going to care, you know.
Exactly. Or they might be offended at a...
Yeah.
They might be the opposite of caring.
But this also reminds me of the obsession of the evangelical fundamentalist Christian community in this country with war. I mean, they're...
Yes.
So obsessed with war. I mean, for people who claim to follow the Prince of Peace, evangelical fundamentalist Christians tend to be the most warmongering, bloodthirsty people around. It's quite weird, actually.
Actually, you know, that reminds me of another, it's going to segue me into another thing. There was a survey done recently which indicated that conservative Christians and Catholics, I guess Christians in general, are far more likely to think that there are times where it's acceptable to kill innocent civilians than other groups. Jews were, I think the Jews... And non-believers were the lowest. American Muslims scored well below the Christian community. Christians I think it was like 38% for the conservative Christians thought it was perfectly acceptable under certain circumstances.
Should we really be surprised? I mean, the Christian holy book, the Bible, I mean, it ordains genocide. I mean, when you believe a violent God... when your God is violent, that's you're going to approve of violent policies.
Surprising is that the Jewish community, who also share that particular those scriptures, were significantly less prone to accept this.
Let's face it, the Christian community in this country, the Christian community in general, tends to take the Old Testament much more seriously than the Jewish community.
I know, which is bizarre.
Well, and I've heard this put forth too. When you are in the minority, you're going to be a lot more peaceful than when you're in the majority, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense. You know, a lot of people say, you know, well, you know, they talk about the I'm trying to think of what it's called, the Quran, and how it was so peaceful, and it's like it did start out as a really peaceful book because they weren't in the majority. They really couldn't do about anything much about it. When they grew in numbers, that's when the Quran starts getting more and more violent. And it's because you had large amounts of people that could go out and conquer things. So I think that has a lot to do with it too. When you have a religious group that's far outnumbers all the rest of them, of course they're going to say, well, yeah, it's okay to kill a bunch of people if it's furthering our religious belief. And then when you have those who are in the minority, because I bet you if you went over to the Middle East and were to give this survey, you might see the opposite. You might see a lot of Islamic individuals saying, yeah, it's okay to kill civilians in these situations, and maybe the Christians and Jews would be, you know, a little less, you know.
It, 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 not a, In all fairness, though, I mean, I'm not surprised to hear that conservative Christians and Catholics would approve of, would not necessarily have a problem with killing innocent civilians. But, you know, there are a lot of the mainline churches and denominations, they tend to be more interested in promoting peace. I'm thinking about, you know, the United Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church. Of course, their numbers are in major decline, but I at least give them credit. They tend to be more consistent in, you know, they claim to follow someone called the Prince of Peace, and they tend to favor peace-loving policies more than their evangelical counterparts.
Yeah, and they seem to be less obsessed with the Old Testament, too.
Right, exactly.
Evangelicals are crazy for the Old Testament.
Exactly.
Wow. Which drives me crazy. But anyway, I wanted to go back to that funeral thing where the Texas lawmen and Christian groups were suing the Veterans Administration. Veterans Administration, while I couldn't comment on the specifics of the lawsuit, did release this statement. The idea that invoking the name of God or Jesus is banned at VA national cemeteries is blatantly false. The truth is VA's policy protects veterans' families' right to pray however they choose to at our national cemeteries. Put simply, Veterans Administration policy puts the wishes of the veteran's family above all else on the matter, on the day it matters most.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so the VA is coming out basically saying, you know, if the family wants a Christian service, we are more than happy to accommodate that.
Sure.
But you can't force it on the family, whether they want it or not.
You know, I've seen Christian services, you know, for funerals not be so Christian, be more secular than, so they're saying that Jesus should be talked about more there.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and they would have every right to be as Christian or mention Jesus as many times as they wanted to at a Christian service. And it's just this notion, this of Christian evangelical conservatives that if they can't say it at every service, that they're being discriminated against. And I've actually heard discussion of this lawsuit on our local crazy Christian channel, Bot News, or Bot Radio.
Bot Radio.
92.3 in Kansas.
Yep. Yeah. You listen to that?
Oh, I listen to that. I used to listen to that all the time when I lived in Kansas City.
I listen to it all the time myself.
But Jay Sekulo talks about this.
Oh, he's the worst. I can't stand that guy.
He is a nut job. Everything's persecution to him.
Oh yeah, sure it is.
Just because they can't shove their religion up our ass, they throw a fit and they hold their breath and start screaming and crying until they get the attention they want. And it drives me absolutely nuts because...
And real briefly, there are more atheists here lately calling in on that station.
Really?
Ever has been, yes. And they always save them for the last so they can get off quickly.
Mm-hmm. I need to start listening to them
more. Very interesting questions, and they really dance around it. It's
that's
great.
Really cool. Yeah,
because that channel really has highlighted to me just how willing people are to lie for Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Blatant lies. Jay Sekulo misrepresents every circumstance, every situation.
I invited Hank Hanegraaff, the answer man, to do Skype with our group, and he denied. He said he wouldn't.
I listen to him all the time as well. That guy is so full of shit. It's not even.
Yeah, exactly. You said it good.
I can't even listen to him. I stick with the Bible Geek.
I love listening to him because he is so full of shit.
I go to Bible Geek and I go to Bart Ehrman if I want to know about the Bible. really, and they don't agree with each other on a lot of things.
Oh, no. And they bash Bart Ehrman all the time.
Yes, because he doesn't approach the Bible
as the word of God.
Yeah, he doesn't assume it's he doesn't approach it with a presupposition that it is the word of God.
Right.
You know, so yeah, they hate him, and he is the worst enemy because he knows the Bible back and front, and he knows everything about it. And they can. I mean, we've been to Cole. You and I have been to a debate,
right,
with Bart Ehrman. He kicked that Christian's ass so bad.
Who was he debating? Mike Lacona? Who's Ehrman debating?
No, he was debating Johnson. It was Johnson, wasn't it? The preacher?
No, no, no. They brought in some scholar.
Yeah, Craig. Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I remember Craig Evans. Was that who was that?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. He did kick Evans' ass. Oh,
it
yeah,
was. Yeah. I got to the point where I felt bad for the guy. Right. I mean, I really did.
And even guess what? Christians
were saying that Bart Ehrman kicked his ass. And that's pretty...
Oh, yeah, that he did.
Yeah.
And they met 2 days later to debate what he said without Bart Ehrman. He was right. So pissed. I have a friend that's good friends with him, and he was so pissed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. We're going to end the show on something that I consider good news. Okay. For real this time. And hopefully the Skype won't drop us in the middle of this. Good news for children in Illinois. Catholic Charities won't. Yes, Catholic Charities will not be getting money to discriminate against gay and lesbian couples who want to adopt. And I get this from the Friendly Atheist, who I don't know where he got it from.
Well, he's in Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And he is friendly. He really is, which drives me crazy.
Why? No,
I like him. Ever since Illinois legalized civil unions, Catholic Charities has been flipping out at the prospect of sending kids into the homes of gay parents who want to adopt them. And the Catholic Church has absolutely refused to do this. And as a result, they weren't receiving money from the state of Illinois because they were violating the law regarding, non-discrimination against gay and lesbian couples. So they took it to court and lost. And I guess unless the law gets overturned, they will not be receiving any money, and they are out of the adoption business in Illinois now.
Oh, because wow.
They would rather see a child go homeless than, or stay in a foster care situation than adopt it to a gay or lesbian couple who would provide a loving and happy household.
Well, hey, I mean, regardless of what you think of the law, I mean, if they're receiving state funding, they have to abide by the state's rules. So it's...
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
And in fairness to the Catholic Church, they had every right to just say, well, we're not going to be involved in it.
Sure.
No, that was right. Right.
Money.
But then again, that's hypocritical of them to say, well, we're not going to abide by the state's laws and then complain about not getting money from the state.
Right.
Correct. And I don't know. I hate the Catholic Church so much. There were so many other stories we could have done on the Catholic Church. I decided no. We spend so much time on the Catholic Church. But
that's how I feel about the evangelical church.
Yes.
As one who was in it at one time.
Yeah. But I have a friend who is a Catholic, and I've mentioned him a couple of times. And he said to me, he said, well, you know, I was telling him how I'm definitely not a Catholic and there's no way I'm ever going to be a Catholic again. And he says, well, you consider yourself a cultural Catholic, don't you? Mm-hmm. And I said, Dan, to me, that's like, you know, being a cultural Catholic is tantamount to being a cultural Nazi. You know, why would you, once the Nazi Party was destroyed, why would you still, you know, claim allegiance to it? And he thought that was rather harsh. But honestly, you compare the two organizations, and they have a pretty similar history.
Yeah.
I have a friend that's head of the human rights at the Catholic Church in Kansas City in St. Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
And his suggestion for all this child molesting was to have more atheists involved.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's exactly what you told them.
No, it's weird to me because it's not like atheists are incapable of molesting children. I mean, what was his theory there?
Yeah. Well, his theory was a non-biased group of people.
To do what?
Yeah. Well, this person is trying to get more secular groups involved with the Catholic Church to see these things don't happen and see they go through a court proceedings.
Oh, just kind of oversight. Like,
so maybe like an independent school to review accusations and decide whether or not there's merit to them and whether or not this needs to be taken to the police.
Gotcha. Exactly. And it seems to be working for him because he is getting more and more secular organizations involved with the Catholic Church here in Kansas City and St. Joseph. He's a great guy. He says he's a non-practicing atheist.
That's funny.
He's talked to our skeptics groups once, and he's coming back in a month.
Oh, yeah, I missed that meeting.
And he's also talking about the Radican case here in Kansas City.
Oh, we talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, a few episodes ago. Uh-huh.
That's
interesting case.
So anyway, we'll wrap up on the Illinois story. Everybody, thanks for listening. Take the time to review us, even if you want to badmouth us. particularly if you want to badmouth Cole.
Hey, here's my phone number, 913-961-3291. Call me.
Cole, why would you give out your phone number?
Why not?
Because there's a stalker. I got at least one stalker.
Hey, call me from Russia. Call me from China.
Maybe some hot babes are listening. You never know.
You never know. Because because my understanding of hot babes is they just listen to podcasts on the off chance that some hot guy is going to give their phone number out.
There you go.
Well, I'm not a hot guy. I'm an old guy.
Cole, I was building you up there.
I know, but I don't want to give any false, Go ahead.
So, all right, before Skype disconnects on us, again, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.